do not despise the day of small things. That'll probably be reoccurring as I go through this talk. Yes, that lady gave us a wonderful gift, but we couldn't get to the 200,000 for people who give us £5. So it takes everything. It takes the £5. And that's a recurring theme again. And I just think this is the way God does things in his kingdom. You know, when we went to buy our first car to pull the exhibition trailer around the parks, our mobile youth club, in other words, again, do not despise the day of small things. A young lad came into the trailer. We had a little bar, and it didn't sell. Contrary to public knowledge, we did not sell alcohol or drugs at this bar. We did not buy our equipment through the sale of drugs or alcohol. It was kind people like yourself that actually enabled that to happen. But he planted £5 on the table, and he says, "That's towards your vehicle." And stupidly enough, I accepted it. Not thinking, actually, that once that £5 was accepted, we were on a journey. And that's been the same, actually. And you could say this, I bet you if I asked you that and you thought about it, you could have the same stories. And I'm going to pray, and this might seem a strange prayer, but it's biblical, okay? And I'm going to pray, before I start again, I'm going to pray the prayer of Jabez over us all. And you might think that's a strange prayer, but I might explain a wee bit afterwards. I'm just checking the time and what time I have to finish, okay? So the prayer of Jabez, O Lord, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my borders, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep evil far from me, that I would cause no harm, and you could replace us with I. The reason why I say this, we have got a commission from Jesus himself to take the kingdom of heaven, not let it stay in heaven, but to bring the kingdom of heaven from heaven to earth. That's our commission. And you know, if you look at it deeply, it is just not, the scripture actually says, it's just not taking the kingdom of heaven and making it known to our neighbors. If we take the command of Jesus, is we're not supposed to just disciple our neighbors or our town. The church is there to disciple nations. Nations. But we start by discipling nations. Do not despise the day of small things. We start by discipling nations, by discipling people around about us. And if we disciple people around about us, God will see that and honor that, and then we can disciple nations. There's no good in saying, actually, God wants us to engage with him. He's not a far-off God. He is not there. He wants us to engage with him, to partner with him, to bring. It says he desires that none perish. What is none? None is none. And it's not his fault that people will go to a place where Jesus is not. Maybe I should just say it, actually. It's not his desire that people will go to hell. It's his desire that all will see the Father through his work. And that piece of, I do not preach myself, but Christ. And that thing, that treasure in earthen vessels, just as I was hearing that read, I just felt the Spirit say, that is you. It says, basically, guys, you don't know where I've come from. You don't know my education. Some will, Yvonne does. I sat behind her in class. She knows. Yvonne is my education, so she's to blame. All the questions I got wrong, she deliberately gave them wrong to me and kept the right answers for herself. So it's you to blame. She could tell you a different story, but there you go. But I I just declare, this is nothing to do with me. It is Christ in me. And it's Him. It is Him that has enabled me to walk in this journey that He's given me. Maybe kicking and screaming sometimes, to be honest. But the same journey, or the same ethos, not the same journey, but He does the same for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. The worst thing that actually came into Christianity in the West is a personal faith, but the worst thing that came in was a personal faith. This is my faith. That, and I keep it to myself, that's not scriptural. That is not scriptural. Because we're supposed to disciple nations. It is a personal faith, because you will stand, I will stand, as we just sung in the creed. We will stand before Christ. And I want to encourage you, actually, those who accepted Jesus Christ, you will not be judged. This is my reading of the scripture. Some people might differ, but my reading of the scripture is when you stand, you will stand before Christ, but you will not be judged. Rather, you'll be given a reward. And it's almost like some people say it is like going to the Olympics and being an Olympic athlete. You'll either get, and again, some people might disagree with this, but you'll either get a gold, silver, or bronze. There are different rewards in heaven according to how we have spent our life here on earth. That's my reading of Scripture. So with that, actually, where do we go with the whole thing of the kingdom of heaven? Are we? No, Margaret had the thing, a picture of the pearl. And the pearl is actually brought into being through real pressure and aggregation, if that's the right, I don't know what the word is, but anyway. But it's the sand, it's the irritant in the shell that actually makes the pearl. And each one of us actually have that bit of sand in us. Hopefully it's shining us. But another parable actually says that the man owned a lot of pearls and he found a great pearl, the pearl, and he sold everything to obtain the one pearl. Are we a people of today that are prepared to sacrifice what we have today to receive that great pearl and receive our reward in heaven? The reason why I say we will not be judged, by the way, is because I believe on the cross, Jesus Christ took our judgment. And He cannot be judged twice. He cannot be judged. It's one-time sacrifice. One time. So in this whole thing, the kingdom is just, it's a mind-blowing concept. I'm not surprised people don't get it, because it's difficult to see with human eyes. And that's why we need the Spirit of God to reveal to us the kingdom, so that it builds us up and it makes us passionate for the kingdom. And it's so difficult, actually, for us. For an example, everybody will have different examples, but I'm just giving you this example. You will have different examples. We work with a lot of young people that have a bad hand dealt to them through early life. And what you want to do is encourage that to put down roots, to give them a stable place so they can put down, the old saying, to put down roots. The problem, that's right. But if you flip the coin, is in the Christian sense, actually, we can put our roots down so much that we get so stuck in this world and the things around about us that the kingdom becomes secondary. And that is also wrong. Forgive me if this is offensive, but this is the reading of Scripture, I believe, that our everyday life, God actually gives us a real commission, and then He allows us to do everyday work to work that commission out. But if the enemy can tie us down and get us entangled in the everyday stuff, We're sucked away, actually, from the rules of the kingdom, and we get bogged down in the day-to-day stuff of this earth. And then Christ and his kingdom become secondary. We have a kingdom. We have a kingdom. And every kingdom has to have a king. And the king is Jesus Christ. The scripture says he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. We can get so bogged down in the day-to-day stuff of life that the kingdom becomes secondary. Paul likens that we are on a journey through. We are pilgrims. We are pilgrims going through. How many of us, seriously, how many of us can actually hand on heart and say, I'm just a pilgrim walking through this life? This is not my home. This is not my city. How many of us? You see, the problem by living in this area, it's a wonderful area to live in. Even Woodley, over this last 15 years, it's a transformed place, believe it or not, for those who have moved here. It wasn't always like this. And are we so busy at building our own lives and homes? See, it's not wrong to have a nice home. It's not wrong to have a nice car. It's only wrong when it takes the place of Jesus Christ and his kingdom comes second. It's not wrong. Hear me, I'm not saying it's wrong. It's wrong when it comes second place. And I'm convicted. I'm not standing here as a perfect specimen. I know actually how I can get dragged away into worldly thinking and pursue worldly things and not the kingdom. And sometimes the two are so close. Sometimes the two are so close that we can deceive ourselves. He has put into each and every one of us his presence. And Paul says we are earthen jars. We're clay pots. We will return to the dust. But inside this clay pot, the maker of the universe, keep it going, I like it. The maker of the universe has put his glory. I'm going to stop for 1 minute and get you to consider, because we're so busy. We're so busy in life. Do we really take time and stop and just to consider what God has given us through Jesus Christ? Into this earthen pot, he has put all authority. You see, Jesus defeated all the works of the enemy. What's all? It's all. And all authority has been given to Jesus. What's all? So the enemy, Satan, has no authority. Think about it. The only authority I believe he has is the authority we allow him to have. So just stop and think for a second. This jar, your jars, I'm looking at you all as jars. Earthen vessels. God, through Jesus Christ, has put all authority inside these earthen vessels. The Creator, who spoke everything into being, who spoke everything that you see, and goodness knows what we can see, lives inside you and I. And everything that we see at the moment is fallen. These lilies, when they come out, these flowers, they're absolutely amazing and absolutely beautiful. But even the earth is groaning for the return of Christ. So they're not displaying their full glory. Think about it. Just 1 second now, or for a minute. Think about what's inside you. What's inside you? Some people might struggle with that concept, that the God who created the universe lives within inside us. But I think if we focus more on that, we'd be a different church. The church would be different. I would be a different person. And just to encourage you, actually, if you think you're not good enough, that's a lie. Simple, that's a lie. And there's a fantastic verse in Psalm 103, I think it's 103 verse 4. Amazing, amazing. It says, "And he remembers that we are dust." He remembers we are dust. So when we get it wrong, he's not a father with a big stick when he beat us over the head. He's a father who remembers that we were made from the dust of the earth. And we will return to the dust of the earth. And he loves us. He loves us. He loves us unconditionally. And 1 Corinthians said he spoke light. Or 2 Corinthians, he spoke light. God spoke light into creation. And that same light is still here today with us. Still here today with you and me. The parable of the sower and the parable of the small seed works on beautifully, isn't it? Mustard seed, the smallest seed that's on earth, it says, do not despise the day of small things. You see, Jesus demonstrated that. So many times we just want to have the glory. It was never like meant to be like that. That parable we can actually look at of the mustard seed and actually look at the whole aspect of that. And scholars would tell us that that just speaks about the church. The mustard seed being the small seed. If you could actually put Jesus into a small seed, the creator of the universe into a mustard seed, well, that's a miracle in itself, isn't it? But the parable is there to show us that the church actually started off with one man at the beginning of time, at the beginning of the church age, sorry, not the beginning of time, at the beginning of the church age, it started off with Jesus represented by the small seed. Right through to where the mustard seed grows up, and it's a mighty bush, and many birds of the air come and land in it and find rest. Representing Jesus' second coming, where all of us, Margaret, there's your little bird, and your tree. See, what Jesus said he will do, he will do. It's like that Ron Seal advertisement. It does exactly what it says in the tin. Everything we, and it's not, sometimes we want to put it into an allegorical sense. Most of the Bible is not allegorical. It is literal, in my opinion. You may disagree, but I think I'm right. They say there's around about 300 prophecies about Jesus' first coming. Would you agree with me on the general? You probably can't think. I can't even think of the 300 prophecies now. But they say he fulfilled every one of them 100% at his first coming. That's an amazing fact. 300 prophecies. They actually say in his kingdom, there's three times the number of prophecies about Jesus' second coming as was his first. So I'd like to suggest to you as an encouragement to the press and the media who are all under they're there to lie to us, basically, I think. They're not certainly of the kingdom of God. Let me put it that way. Yeah, that's a diplomatic way of putting it. The media is not of the kingdom of God at this present time. They will do anything to discredit the Christian gospel. That's the way it is. And they say the church is not relevant. The kingdom is relevant. The kingdom will never go away because we have a king who's eternal. He died. We sung it. You know, this is the thing. Do we really stop and think about the things we sing on the creed? What a powerful statement. That is the truth. church. That is the truth. It doesn't matter what the media tell us or the news tell us or any other faith tells us. Jesus Christ, let me say this very clearly, Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. The only way. And a simple analogy of looking at that, if I go to the World Cup, if I had money to go to the World Cup, I'll not use your money today to go to the World Cup. Okay. If I had a ticket for an England game, I don't even, who's England playing first? Tunisia. Who are they playing second? See, who? Panama. If I had a ticket for the first game, if I had a ticket for the second game and I went to the first game, would I get in? You see, there's an element of truth that many ways lead to heaven, but there's only one gate, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one ticket, and that's Jesus Christ, and your name has to be stamped on that ticket. That's the way I see it, a simple way of looking at it. There isn't many ways to heaven. It says everybody will stand before Christ. Everybody will stand before him in his kingdom. But only those with the right date on the tickets, so to speak, and that date is when did you receive Jesus Christ, will enter in and play in the rest of the game for eternity. So in Christ, actually, we have everything we need. In Christ, we have everything we need. Now, the reality, that's the truth. Each one of us, actually, as Paul said, we're hard-pressed on every side, didn't he? In the scripture, we're hard-pressed. And actually, if I could actually say to you today, actually, Jack is in this period of time, it's almost like Nehemiah. God has been speaking to him about Nehemiah. And this is the place, if you want to pray for us, this is how to pray. Jack is in a place where Nehemiah came back to build the walls. And there was so much opposition against them building those walls. And there's so much opposition to us today of building godly walls. And how does the enemy come against us? He comes against us with accusations and fear and intimidation. Nothing changes. There's nothing new under the sun. And what God is saying to us and what I would say to you here today is build with the sword by your side. The sword is the word of God. The sword is the word of God. So God wants us to disciple nations. He wants his kingdom to spread. He wants that tree full of birds singing. He wants it. That's what he wants. Amen. So, as we wrap up, where is our focus in these days? The kingdom. Jesus said he's come back for a church that he's made ready. No, the scripture doesn't say that. The scripture actually in Revelation says, I'm come back for a church that has made herself ready. So we have a role in getting ourselves. And that's why I prayed the prayer of Jabez at the beginning. Because our borders, there's two types of borders. There's a physical border and there's a border here. And God wants to explode this border in our minds. The preaching of the gospel has to go. We have to love one another, but the gospel will not go out unless we are prepared to do four things. And those four things are pray, confront demonic forces, expect miracles, and a passionate taking the gospel out. If we can get those four things, if we can get those four things in order, I guarantee you that this place will be a different place to live in. Four things: prayer, warfare. It says in the scripture, actually, that the kingdom of, from John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I am not talking about the Crusades. I am talking about 2 Corinthians, where it says, our weapons are mighty and pulling down strongholds. That's what it is. Are we prepared through prayer to pull down the strongholds in this town and in our lives that are resisting the move of God? We're not here, guys. I just finished with this. We're not here for ourselves. We are not. We're here for Jesus Christ. And believe it, we were born. You were born for such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this. What is your commission? What is your commission in the field of the kingdom of heaven?